Welcome to our KPMG Financial Reporting Podcast Series, delivering fresh insights and perspectives around major accounting and financial reporting developments on ESG reporting. We thank you for joining today.
Welcome back to all of our listeners to our sustainability reporting update. My name is Julie Santoro. I lead our ESG reporting activities in our Department of Professional Practice. Today, we're going to focus just on one hot topic, and that's the EU taxonomy and what it really means for US companies. So today, I'm joined by Bryce Earhart, Managing Director in the team here in Department of Professional Practice. You would have heard Bryce on these podcasts speak about what's happening in the EU many times. But today, we also have a special guest. We're joined by Claudius Baumann. He is a director in advisory in KPMG Germany. He's now here with us in the US, and he's really focused on helping US companies implement EU laws and regulations. So, Bryce, I'd like you to get us started here. We talk a lot about Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, or the CSRD, and the EU Sustainability Reporting Standards, or ESRSs. But we haven't yet talked about the EU taxonomy on our podcast. Where has the taxonomy come from, and why do US companies need to care about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great place to start, Julie, and I'm happy to be here. Hi, everyone. Now, the EU, they've committed to becoming carbon neutral by 2050. And to help them do this, they've created what they've called the European Green Deal. And that's really intended to help them accelerate their energy transition. And as part of this Green Deal, it includes what's called the Action Plan on Sustainable Finance, which is intended to help them finance this energy transition, really so that you can see more funds flowing from investors into sustainable like projects, companies, even sustainable assets. Now, here's where the EU taxonomy comes in. So for an investor, and really the capital markets more broadly, what they're trying to do is help those investors in capital markets determine whether a company's economic activities are actually supporting this energy transition. And the EU has created essentially a standardized classification system to help these investors and capital markets identify those sustainable economic activities. This classification system is what is called the EU taxonomy, where within the EU taxonomy, for an economic activity to be considered sustainable, it needs to support at least one of six environmental objectives. So a couple of those are like climate change mitigation, and another one would be like a climate change adaptation. So in addition to supporting one of those, it also needs to do no significant harm to any of the other environmental objectives. So here we go again, right? We're here, we're talking to you about another EU directive that we may need to care about. So the next logical question is whether you need to care about it, right? And that's the reason we're talking to you about it today. In a nutshell, right, if you're a US company or any other non-EU company for that matter that has to comply with the CSRD, you'll also have to comply with the EU taxonomy at some level within your organization. So Julie, your obligation to comply with the EU taxonomy, it actually goes hand in hand with your CSRD obligations.
Thanks for that tee up, Bryce. So I know that this can get complicated very quickly. So just to recap on a couple of the really key points that I heard. So number one, it's a classification system that tells investors something about the extent to which a company's activities are environmentally sustainable. And number two, if you're in the scope of the CSRD, then you are in the scope of the EU taxonomy. So Claudius, let's hear from you at this point. What needs to be reported?
Thanks, Julie. Well, as Bryce mentioned, the EU wants to achieve environmental objectives that go beyond just climate. So other environmental objectives like biodiversity or water are addressed as well. And of course, there's a significant overlap between CSRD and EU taxonomy, and that's of course not by accident. So the EU has identified business activities that can positively contribute to achieving these environmental objectives. And now to your question, Julie, what needs to be reported? So what companies must disclose is three pairs of financial KPIs. It's revenue, CapEx, and OPEX. And these KPIs need to be sliced in two different ways. On the one hand side, the companies need to report the eligibility score. On the other hand side, the alignment score. Eligibility just means to what extent are certain economic activities by a company covered from the regulation. So for example, when a company does an investment into an economic activity that is addressed by the EU taxonomy, then this activity would be eligible. And the alignment, the second piece, would mean like if certain criteria are met, then this investment could be assessed to be aligned as well. So as an interim summary, eligibility answers the question, what could be green? And then alignment answers the question, what is already green?
Okay, thanks for that, Claudius. So we have it now. There are two distinct analyses. So first, what activities does a company have that are eligible to be green? And then next, of those activities, to what extent are they actually green? And these two things are measured by reference to revenue, CapEx, and OpEx. Okay, so far so good, but we need an example now. Claudius, can you help us with that?
Yeah, often an example helps. So let's just take the example of a company that invests into building a new production site. Then you will find that this economic activity, construction of a new building, is covered in the environmental objective of climate change mitigation. And why is that the case? Because construction of new buildings are very energy and climate intense due to use of materials such as cement or concrete. So if the company invests into a new building, that would be classified as a CapEx because it's an addition to an intangible asset. So just imagine if this company spends $10 million in the construction of this new building, then these $10 million would be taxonomy eligible, as this business activity, construction of new buildings, are referenced in the delegated act. For the alignment piece, so the next step, it would only be aligned, these $10 million investment, if the building as well is very energy efficient. So there are some other criteria, but they would go way beyond what we can cover here. But to really make it short, if you invest into an economic activity such as building, a new building would be eligible. If the building is very energy efficient and very green, it would be aligned as well.
Okay, I have a question about the example. So who gets to decide what activities are eligible in the first place? Does a company use its judgment?
Yeah, that's a very good question. This has been decided already, as all of the economic activities that have to be assessed for the eligibility assessment have already been defined in the delegated acts from the European Union. So it's not a management decision by a company. There's a very clear and defined list of economic activities that are then linked to the six environmental objectives. But what's important to understand, the number of economic activities that are then relevant for certain companies can vary significantly. For example, if you have an IT service provider, we would assume that this IT service provider has way less eligible activities compared to an energy provider or utility firm. What is important to understand is that the European Commission is revising and amending this list continuously. So it's a dynamic process, and companies have to make sure that they are on top of new activities that might have been added recently.
Okay, so that's helpful context. So the takeaway there is that it is very, very rule-driven, the process that you go through. So Claudius, I'm going to stay with you for another question. As US companies start to get organized for EU taxonomy reporting, what are some of the challenges they need to address?
There are some challenges for sure, but we have good news as well. Good news is that companies in the EU have been doing taxonomy reporting for some years. The first companies were in scope for 2021. So there are some learnings and some learning curves that we had in Europe that we can leverage, of course. Challenges that need to be kept in mind. The taxonomy regulation, as well all of our listeners can understand from our explanation, is a rather complex regulation. It's like multi-layered, and therefore, due to the complexity, it can be challenging to really like understand the architecture and address the requirements. In combination with partially vague terminology that we still have in the taxonomy regulation. Another challenge that we see is that we need to link financial KPIs to rather technical and sustainability related screening criteria. So what we see is that it's really like a horizontal requirement in the end. And one point that comes to my mind is as well that we have interdependencies with other EU regulation. So often other EU regulation is referenced. And if companies report on EU taxonomy that are not EU-based, they of course need to interpret and sort of bridge over those requirements for their own company.
Yeah, and can I add one as well, Julie? And that's really just getting started in the first place, right? Like what I've seen, and I think what Claudius and you have seen as well, with a lot of US companies, they've already kicked off their CSRD implementation journeys. However, in many of those journeys, the EU taxonomy, it's not really been a focus, or it's taken a backseat to other priorities. Now, there's many reasons why that is. For example, we see that there's just a general lack of knowledge in the US, for example, around the EU taxonomy. And we're really trying to help with that here. There's also resource constraints, right? And admittedly, right, I'll be the first to admit that even without the EU taxonomy, the CSRD is a massive implementation effort. So I can totally understand why companies have not necessarily been focused on the EU taxonomy. Unfortunately, though, compliance with the EU taxonomy is going to run along the same timeline as the CSRD, and it's also going to be subject to limited assurance in that first year of reporting. So neglecting the integration of the EU taxonomy into one's existing CSRD implementation programs, it's really going to elevate your risk of noncompliance.
Okay, so we have the challenges laid out, and we know that US companies have been somewhat slow to get started. If I'm a US company listening to this, Bryce, how do I actually kickstart my path to compliance?
Okay, so there's a couple things that come to mind. The first thing is just getting a grasp on the basics of the EU taxonomy, right? Claudius did a fantastic job of explaining to us what the taxonomy entails, but you really need to go deeper than that. So of course, the next question is, okay, how do I go deeper? What I've seen some companies do is they scale up a small team that's focused on learning about the EU taxonomy in a short period of time, and then proposing to their CSRD program leadership how to incorporate the EU taxonomy into their ongoing CSRD preparation, and then moving forward from there. I mentioned a couple times already that you should integrate your EU taxonomy compliance journey into your CSRD compliance journey. I'm not suggesting that you have to, but what I'm trying to get at there is that there are synergies to be gained by doing that. So for example, the EU taxonomy, it's gonna require contribution by various different internal stakeholders from various departments within your organization. So that screams to me, cross-functionality is needed. And to those of you that are familiar with the CSRD, this should sound familiar, right? Because within the CSRD, you also need that cross-functionality element to your implementation. One more for you, Julie. And this can be done early on as well. Start thinking about what you want your overall ambition level to be for alignment of your eligible activities. Okay. So I'm going to reference back to the language that Claudius was using. I think you used it as well, Julie, and I'll say it slightly differently. To what extent do you want your activities that could be green to actually be green in the future? So higher alignment of that, right? That will, of course, signal to investors and to those capital markets that I was talking about earlier. It'll signal your company's commitment to sustainability. However, that also means that there's probably substantial effort and investment that may be needed to achieve that ambition. So there's a pro and con analysis that needs to happen here. But you're going to want to consider your overall ambition level in the context of your broader sustainability journey and strategy. So for example, you may want to focus on alignment of certain eligible activities that align nicely with some of your long-term sustainability targets and goals. And so you may choose to focus on prioritizing certain KPIs associated with those certain targets and goals over the next few periods.
Thanks, Bryce. I'll add just two points that come to my mind based off the experiences from EU taxonomy projects in Europe. The one point is the governance structure. It's very crucial to build a governance structure that's very horizontal and multi-layered, as the requirement is so as well. So on the one hand side, we will need accounting skills. And going back to our example, we will need accounting people to derive the respective investment into the building of the new production site. On the other hand side, side, we need technical skills, for example, from ESG people or facility management, that will help to identify the energy efficiency level of this production site. So building this horizontal governance structure is really one key. And the second point that comes to my mind is assurance requirements. As described, the taxonomy regulation is quite complex and partially terminology is rather vague. So companies have to make interpretations and assumptions, and we would always recommend to document them at an early stage and make those assumptions in a documented way available to the external assurance provider, just to ensure a rather smooth and efficient assurance process of the taxonomy disclosures.
Okay, thanks for all those tips. I think what we're hearing really, that this is very technical. There's a lot of detail you need to get to grips with, but there is kind of a logical way forward for you to get started. For all of our listeners, hopefully this podcast is the catalyst for actually doing that and getting you started. We have a companion publication with all of these points. You'll find it on our podcast webpage. And Claudius is a key resource who you are welcome to reach out to. So thank you, Claudius, and thank you too, Bryce. That's our update for today. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this KPMG Financial Reporting Podcast. For more in-depth ESG-related financial reporting developments, analysis, and podcast episodes, type into your browser visit.kpmg.us/ESG reporting and be sure to subscribe today.